Hear ye, hear ye! You are listening to an old-timey podcast. I'm Norman Caruso, but my friends call me Sparkle Norman.
And I'm Kristen Caruso.
And on this episode, Grandma Gatewood finishes her walk.
Norman!
What?
Sparkle Norman is not a nickname. It's not anything anyone has ever called you ever. Everyone, we're watching Love is Blind right now. And we're in the worst part of any season of Love is Blind. I'm talking, of course, about the first episodes where you're just watching people flirt through a screen. It's terrible.
Awkward courtship phase. And they talk about the most boring crap of all time.
You're wrong. You're wrong. Because there is one contestant. Her name is Megan. Wait. No, I'm sorry. Sparkle Megan. No one has told this woman that that is not a nickname. You can't add an adjective to your name and then call it a nickname.
Yeah. My name's Norman, but my friends call me Sexy Norman.
Oh.
How about that?
We like it. Everyone.
Kristen's
no.
a little sniffly.
Oh, no.
Kristen's a little sniffly. She's got hairs coming out of her mouth.
Well, that's
she's got snot coming
lip
out
gloss.
Of her nose.
Well, that's just a sad fact. Everybody.
She's got diarrhea.
Hey!
Okay, she didn't have diarrhea.
But if I did, you all would be the first to know.
Hey, watch it.
No, those of you who are privileged to be on the video version of this podcast, you get to see my cute red nostrils. Has the makeup worn off from all the Kleenex? Do I have 3 crumpled Kleenexes in my jogger's pockets ready to do work during this very episode? Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Kristen sneezed 12 times in a row today.
But that's more of a brag because I love sneezing.
New record. It does feel good to sneeze.
Yeah. And you know what feels even better is having a husband who goes by Sparkle Norman and is about to tell me one hell of a tale.
No, Kristen, you're supposed to segue and say, you know what's even better? Supporting this small, sexy, independent podcast on Patreon.
Well, you said it best, Norm. Now, in honor of Grandma Gatewood, I'm sorry, I know you're not going to like this, Norm, but I'm going to tell you to go to our Patreon just like a grandma would. Well, you have your phone out, don't you? Well, you kids always do have your phones. Now go on there to www.patreon.com/... Oh, hell, what was it? Old Timey Podcast. Once you get there, you'll get all kinds of bonus episodes, plus card and sticker. You'll get to participate in trivia, and you'll get ad-free video episodes of every episode of the show.
What else, Grandma?
I wish these kids would quit playing basketball so close to the house. www.patreon.com/oldtimeypodcast. That's the best you're going to get, Norm.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
I would improve it a little more by saying open the lids to your laptops
and
go to patreon.com/oldtimeypodcast. And she wrote it all down on a post-it note attached to the lid of that laptop.
There we go.
Well, Kristen, it's finally here, the finale of my series on Grandma Gatewood. She's finally going to finish her walk.
Spoilers.
But before we get into part 3, let's recap part 2.
Previously on an old-timey podcast.
After reading about the 2,000-mile Appalachian Trail in National Geographic magazine, 66-year-old Emma Gatewood decided to give it a try. But her first attempt at the hike did not go well at all. Despite the article claiming that anyone in good health could do it, Emma made quite a few mistakes. She did little to no training. She didn't really know what to pack. She hiked north to south, a much more difficult journey. She got lost. She ran out of food. She broke her glasses. Emma hiked only about 30 miles and ended up looking like roadkill.
Oh, rude.
Park rangers told Emma to go home, saying, "I wouldn't want my mom doing this."
Nobody asked about your stupid mom.
At that point, no one could blame Emma Gatewood for giving up. But she didn't. She had been through so much worse. And Emma was filled with determination to hike that damn Appalachian Trail. And so for the next year, Emma saved her money. She trained by walking every day, up to 10 miles a day. She camped out in the woods near her house. She learned what supplies she would need. And in May of 1955, at the age of 67, Emma Gatewood gave it another shot. And this time she was going to hike from south to north. And what a hike it was! Emma Gatewood saw all the beautiful sights and sounds of the Appalachian Trail. She climbed mountains, she crossed streams, she explored the woods, all while wearing the most comfortable shoes money can buy, Keds Canvas.
Hell yeah.
Check out their festive flash sale going on right now. Up to 30% off on holiday favorites. Use code COZY at checkout. Hashtag not sponsored, but we should be.
Wait, is that a real code you looked up?
In her first 2 months on the trail, Emma traveled through Georgia, North Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, Maryland, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. Along the way, she ran into helpful strangers who provided her food, shelter, and advice. But even with assistance, it wasn't an easy journey. Emma's shoes busted open from her swollen feet. Some strangers were suspicious of her motives and refused to help her. One time she drank water out of a trash can lid, and then she accidentally walked through a military base. But those obstacles weren't going to stop Emma Gatewood. Her story was an inspiration to people, and eventually that story made its way into local newspapers. And then it went big time. A reporter from Sports Illustrated wanted to write a profile on Emma Gatewood, and that is where we will pick up our story today.
Ooh, okay.
Kristen, I should mention this before we get into the episode. You've been getting a lot of heat online.
Oh my gosh, these losers. Yes, I certainly have. Are you talking about the Appalachia people?
You're catching strays.
Okay, listen, folks. I understand that there's basically two ways to say Appalachia. The right way, which is the way I just said it, or the ridiculous way that Norman says it.
Sounds like someone's struggling for power.
No, I'm only kidding.
Go on, Kristen. You seem like you want to say some more.
I'm only kidding. I can totally see that Appalachia, or I'm sorry, Apple. I can't even do it. I can totally see that Appalachia is the right way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Norm, help. The truth is, some of these folks are so serious that I think they're going to come after me and throw apples at me.
I think so.
Some of them are real, for real, serious. They're not understanding that I'm just a northern gal, you know, saying it the way I've been taught.
You're a Midwest gal. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, I am a Midwest gal. That's true. But my understanding is the people who say Appalachia are more northern types, I guess.
Yeah.
Listen. I don't want to piss off these Appalachia folks.
Mm-hmm.
They seem real scary. They came at me on Instagram, on Reddit, on like every social media platform.
Every platform, Kristen was getting heat. Yeah.
I do like a cute saying that helps you remember how to pronounce it.
If you don't say Appalachia, I'm going to throw an apple at you.
Yeah, yeah.
Something
That does help me and scare me. And so I will do my best.
You're going to take a Honeycrisp off the dome one day.
Yeah, I would appreciate that. If you're going to throw an apple at me, make it a good one. Don't make it one that you're like, you're going to have to use this in an apple pie. No, give me Honeycrisp or give me nothing.
I thought you'd say, or give me death.
I was about to say it, but then I thought, oh, I might really get beaned pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm just trying to say, keep your Granny Smiths to yourself.
Well, they're a lot cheaper, so people can get more ammo by buying Granny Smiths.
I understand.
And pelt you with multiple apples. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Kristen, here on an old-timey podcast, we are open to new ideas and suggestions. And so we think it's okay to say Appalachian or Appalachian because different people say it different ways, right?
Norm, have you ever been on the internet for 1 second in your life?
There's a right way and a wrong way, brother!
Yeah, I guess you're right. Well, you're the one that said it wrong, so I wish you luck.
Thank you.
Anyway, let's get into this episode. I do want to mention, I really miscalculated my weeks on the last episode. You know, I was doing like week one, week two.
Yeah, we were all singing along to the music except for that Maryland song. My God.
Well, so I did like the first 8 weeks. I actually covered more like the first 12 weeks.
Okay.
So let's pick it up from week 13.
Wait, is that so bad?
Yeah, it's bad.
Oh, okay.
I'm a big boy. I should know my how to tell time and how to say the date, you know?
True. How dare you? Mistakes of shame.
Okay, we're in week 13. In the last week of July, 1955, Emma Gatewood crossed the New Jersey state line into New York!
Yes! I was hoping you'd do this song.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's a good one. Emma was near Route 17, where buses from New York City carried tourists and vacationers up to the Catskill Mountains. And there she met Mary Snow, the reporter from Sports Illustrated. Mary Snow had read about Emma in the papers and thought she would be perfect for a profile piece in the magazine. And so the two of them hiked together and chatted. Emma recalled her earlier experiences on the trail, how she often foraged for food like wild huckleberries, about how she heated up some flat stones on a fire and then slept on them to keep warm, how she sucked on bullion cubes to restore electrolytes in her body.
Oh, disgusting.
How a rattlesnake almost killed her and killed Kristen just by listening to that story. About how the kindness of strangers varied. One refused to give her a drink of water, while another stranger packed her a generous helping of fried chicken.
That man's name? Colonel Sanders.
Wow.
Wow, wow.
Holy shit, Kristen.
I can't believe you didn't include that as a fun fact.
Well, your research is clearly better than mine. Mm. Mary Snow then asked Emma if she thought she could make it to the end. Emma confidently replied, "I'll get there. Except if I break something or something busts loose."
Oh, God.
And I thought for a while about what...
What could bust
what,
loose?
What that means for something to bust loose. What do you think that means?
You know, I'm reminded of 2 weeks ago, I was at yoga with some dear friends.
Mm-hmm.
We were at the water fountain. I bent down to get a drink of water and my friend touched me. She accidentally touched my boob. And she said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to touch your boob. And then she blurted out, "I didn't expect it to be there." And so we had a laugh about how, yeah, my boobs don't sit quite where they used to sit even just right. A few years ago. And that's kind of what I'm thinking of now when Grandma Gatewood is talking about things busting loose. Like, I don't know, a titty out the bottom of the tank top. Who knows what can happen?
I mean, big pleasant hooters. Yeah, maybe a boob flops out and she's got to call it quits. And then Emma... a poet at heart declared, "When I get to the top of Mount Katahdin, I'll sing America the Beautiful, from sea to shining sea." Kind of cringe, Emma. But you know what? You do you.
Norm, do what? Not judge this woman. She's been through a lot. This was before cringe was invented.
This is pre-cringe. Okay, yeah. That's fine.
I'm sorry. Nose blow check.
Closer to the mic, Kristen.
Yeah, everyone, do you think we should pay Joe extra because he has to edit this episode where I'm regularly blowing my nose? What's the snot tax?
It's called a duress edit.
Sorry, Joe.
We upped the rate for the duress edit. Anyway, Mary Snow thanked Emma and promised to see her later down the trail for more updates. And with that, Emma continued her hike solo. By then, she was dealing with knee pain. You know, she had slipped and fallen earlier in her hike, and at first she thought her knee was totally fine, but the pain was getting worse and it was starting to slow her down. But nevertheless, she persisted. In a few days, she stumbled into some sort of museum in the mountains that was called The Lost Village.
Whoa, like a ghost town?
Not quite. This was a brand new museum. It opened only 2 months prior. The proprietors, a husband and wife team from New York City, claimed that it was the home of the original cowboys, British cattle thieves who stole from Dutch settlers and hid in the mountains. Apparently, while looking for land to buy, the couple uncovered old stone foundations, pottery, and iron kettles dating back to the 1700s. What do you think, Kristen? Does that sound fishy to you?
Yes.
British cowboys in New York?
It sounds super fishy. It sounds like this husband and wife team, they wanted to open up a bed and breakfast. It didn't do so well, so then they just invented some history.
Yep.
You liar!
Yeah, so for a little more context, the husband was a publicist.
Okay.
And the wife was a writer.
Okay.
And they basically made the whole thing up. It was a tourist trap. And Emma Gatewood thought it was, too. She actually bought a ticket to the Lost Village, and she looked around. And later that night, she wrote in her diary, she said, quote, "Some things were fakes, I am sure." Can't fool Emma.
That would piss you off. Because she doesn't have much money on this trip, but she buys a ticket just to be ripped off by these fuckers.
I know.
Sorry, I shouldn't have called them fuckers.
You fuckers. Making up fake history about cowboys, you fuckers.
I've been hit in the head with a lot of apples recently. It's affected my personality. Normally, I'm very sweet.
She's cursing more and more, Doc. Near Holmes, New York, Emma hiked into a Girl Scout camp, and she introduced herself. The counselors must have read about Emma in the papers, and they begged her to stay for food and talk to all the girls. And Emma was happy to do it. She sat around the campfire, she shared stories from her hike, and the girls were amazed by her stories, and they all asked for autographs. And Emma signed every single little piece of paper from those girls. Emma really enjoyed talking to the young folks on her hike, and those were some of her best memories from the Appalachian Trail.
I mean, that makes sense to me. I remember as a kid, like in elementary school, anytime we'd have someone come talk to us who was a good storyteller, and you kind of have to imagine Emma would be a good storyteller.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, it's always fun. It's cool.
2 days later, on August 1st, Emma Gatewood entered a new state, Connecticut.
I guess it suits me to
what?
A T. Connecticut is the place for me.
Is that Dean Martin?
Connecticut is the place for me.
Bing Crosby and Judy Garland.
Oh!
Yes, Kristen, Connecticut, home of General Tom Thumb and Kristen's hero, P.T. Barnum.
Not my hero. I do think he had some good ideas. Damn it. Okay.
Previous topic.
It's been 84 years.
Emma Gatewood hiked along the western edge of the state. She hoped to reach the historic Cornwall Bridge before nightfall. But when night came, Emma was still hiking. In the darkness, a car pulled up next to her. And I don't know about you, history hoes, but there's nothing more unsettling to me than a car slowly pulling up next to you at night.
You would think that Norman was like a hot, vulnerable young woman, the way he is around cars that slowed down by him at night.
Kristen, my nickname is Sparkle Norman.
They're always after your sparkles. No, you
I'm very precious.
You do get very freaked out. Yeah.
I do. When we're walking in the neighborhood at night and I see a car slowly going down the street, I'm like, what are they doing? What are they up to?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, a man who had clearly been drinking rolled down the window and looked Emma over, and she got real nervous.
Yeah.
And then he asked, why in the world are you walking in such a place after night for? Emma was like, I'm trying to get to Cornwall Bridge. And the man opened his passenger door. And he said, get in. I'll take you to my sister's a half mile down the road.
Where's the hell no music?
Do you need a hell no?
Yes.
Hell no. To the no, no, no. Hell to the no.
Yeah, Emma definitely hesitated. You have to wonder what's going through her mind at that moment. I'm sure some painful memories from her past.
Yeah.
But, you know, Emma Gatewood was strong, and she was like, I can handle myself. And strangers have been good to me for the most part of this journey. And so she took a leap of faith. She got in that car. And you know what? Sure enough, despite the guy being drunk as a skunk, he drove Emma half a mile down the road and dropped her off at his sister's house, where Emma got a good night's rest.
Okay.
I know. Isn't that wild? I would definitely not get in that car.
It's certainly possible she was a very good judge of character after all she'd been through. So that's a factor. I'm also struck by, like, man, back in the day, they just did not give a rip about drinking and driving, huh?
Well, yeah, not in, like, you know, rural Connecticut, I'm sure.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, you can hit a tree, right? I mean, that's crazy.
But yeah, she took the ride, got a good night's rest. And then the next morning, Emma retraced her steps and then continued her hike because she did not want to cheat any part of the trail.
Yeah.
Week 14. Connecticut might be seen as a giant suburb of New York City, but in the western part of the state, it's quite rural with varied landscapes. Emma Gatewood hiked through marshy swamps filled with mosquitoes. She climbed mountains like Bear Mountain, the highest peak in Connecticut. She explored Sage's Ravine near the state line, a beautiful place filled with pine trees, waterfalls, and giant boulders. Meanwhile, local newspapers continued to track Emma's progress. The Waterbury Republican ran the headline, "Great Grandmother Guns Along." Yes, she certainly was, because Emma reached a new state, Kristen.
What do we got?
Massachusetts!
I'm going back.
Man, you picked some slow ones, didn't you?
Excuse me, that's the Bee Gees? A classic?
Could you put on Night Fever and just shout Massachusetts in the background? Come
it
on.
It has to say the name Massachusetts.
That's what I'm saying. Just say it in the background so we can rock out. Am I right?
You can't
right.
tell by the way I use my walk. I'm a Massachusetts. No time to talk.
That's terrible.
How about that?
Never mind. Bad idea.
Massachusetts was home of some of America's most celebrated authors. Emily Dickinson, Dr. Seuss, Sylvia Plath, Nathaniel Hawthorne, and more. And on August 9th, 1955, Emma Gatewood climbed a mountain that influenced many a writer, Mount Greylock, the highest peak in Massachusetts at 3,491 feet.
Huh.
It was kind of a big deal, Kristen.
Yeah.
When Herman Melville wrote Moby Dick, he could see Mount Greylock from his writing room, and he commented how its slopes resembled a whale. Henry David Thoreau climbed Mount Greylock after the death of his brother, seeking nature to, quote, restore his troubled spirit. It's unclear if Emma Gatewood's journey up the mountain was as spiritual as Henry David Thoreau's, but it certainly was rewarding. She reached the summit around noon, and she treated herself to a lunch of hamburgers and ice cream at a mountaintop restaurant. The next day, she was joined on her hike by a group of high school boys and girls. One of the girls commented, "I wish my grandmother was like you." Emma smiled. She said she felt like the Pied Piper of Hamelin. Her next destination was the Long Trail, an appropriately named 273-mile path, one of the oldest long-distance trails in the U.S. of A. It ran from Massachusetts into a new state, Vermont.
Moonlight in Vermont.
Are we scraping the bottom of the barrel here?
Yeah, look, Google songs about Vermont and you get maybe two. That's Frank Sinatra, so.
No, it was well sung.
Moonlight in Vermont.
Makes you want to go to Vermont, huh?
Kind of.
Imagine Bernie Sanders singing this. Moonlight in Vermont.
That's pretty good, Norm.
Thanks. Emma trudged along while rain poured down. She decided it was time to find some shelter, and eventually she found one near a pond. When she popped inside, two men were already there who had also escaped the weather. They were two U.S. Navy boys, Harold Bell and Steve Sargent. Gee, with a last name like Sargent, you'd think he would have joined the Army.
For real, though.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, the trio made small talk, and Emma told them her backstory. And those Navy boys recalled their days on the ships, which were covered with seamen on the poop deck.
Norman.
I'm sorry, that's just too easy.
Sure.
And you know what?
That's what they say about Navy boys, too.
Yeah. Boy, I'm really not funny. I'm sorry.
What?
I wrote that down. I was like, this is so stupid and cheap. Okay, in reality, the Navy boys were shocked that Emma Gatewood was hiking the Appalachian Trail with only a drawstring sack that weighed less than 20 pounds. Because they were only on a 10-day hike, and they were each carrying a backpack that weighed 55 pounds.
Yeah, but it was covered in semen, so it was nice and slick.
Okay. All right. You're taking it too far.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What an insult to the boys. Those Navy boys.
Now you're getting weirdly defensive. You're like, I don't want my dad to listen to this and get upset.
30 years in the Navy, my father. Yes, Emma Gatewood was certainly a badass, Kristen. You know, unbeknownst to her, she would later be an inspiration to a new type of hiker, the ultra-light hiker. Someone who wants to carry as little equipment as possible.
Mm.
Week 15. The next day, rain continued to pour down, along the entire East Coast, actually. It was remnants of Hurricane Connie, a Category 4 hurricane that caused significant flooding on the East Coast. New York City recorded their wettest and wildest August day ever. Connecticut got 8 inches of rain in 2 days. And on the Appalachian Trail, rivers, creeks, streams, and brooks overflowed with water. Emma continued her hike in the pouring rain until she reached Griffith Lake in the Green Mountain National Forest. And she spotted an 8-foot by 20-foot lean-to and ran under it to escape the rain. But she wasn't alone. Inside the lean-to were a group of young black men with a couple of older white dudes. And one of those white dudes recalled that very moment. He wrote, "As night fell, Emma Gatewood, a 5'2" grandma who was living her dream of hiking the entire trail from Georgia to Maine, staggered into camp. Bruised, exhausted, her gear and provisions washed away by swollen streams, she was in dire need. What made things tricky was that Emma was a genteel white southern lady. She could hide neither her drawl nor her unease at living in close proximity to 8 young black males, her distress leading all 8 to bestow on her their stoniest stares." It rained and blew hard. The brute force of nature so overwhelmed us, it literally dissolved the tension in our lean-to. That hurricane, by facing us with a severe, totally mutual challenge, forced us all back to what we had in common, our humanity. Like people trapped in a lifeboat, we came together to try to stay afloat. So, Emma had grown up in a racially segregated area of Ohio. It was practically all white, whiter than a Weezer concert, Kristen.
Okay.
But from the teachings of her faith, Emma always taught her children to be respectful of everyone, no matter what. In that cramped lean-to off the Appalachian Trail, Emma learned that the group of young men were from a Roman Catholic parish in Harlem, New York. The young black men were gang members, and the church was taking them on an all-expenses-paid trip to the wilderness in an effort to reduce gang violence in the neighborhood. And that night, everyone shared a meal of cornbread and offered Emma a place to sleep in the corner. The next morning, Emma joined the group of young men on the trail, and they soon reached a creek that was up to their knees. And Emma was really nervous because, you're not going to believe this, for all of her training and her love of nature, Emma Gatewood did not know how to swim.
Oh, no, that, I can see that, maybe.
Yeah?
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, don't worry, Kristen. Those Harlem boys, they said, "No problem, we've got you, Grandma." They carried her drawstring sack for her, and they extended a pole across the creek so she could hold on to it while she was crossing. And the current was so strong, Emma was nearly knocked off her feet. But she white-knuckled that pole and made it across safely. And Emma Gatewood would never forget the help those boys gave her that day. More on that later.
Oh, okay.
And then, miraculously, it finally stopped raining and the sun came out. Emma and the guys rested near Little Rocky Pond, drying their clothes in the sun. And then it was time to go their separate ways. Emma said goodbye and continued on for 7 more miles that day. That night, she wrote in her diary, "The boys, all but one colored, were very nice."
What are you thinking of this?
It's like, I guess, different time, and
I feel like I know this woman.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
I don't know. This is a very Midwestern white lady of a certain age.
Yeah.
Like, do you think she's going to not include in her diary entry the fact that these guys were black? Hell no!
Hell no!
It's a crucial part of the story! And is she pleasantly surprised that everything turned out fine and they were really nice to her and they probably saved her life by extending that pole for her? Boy, is she stunned.
She, yep.
But you know what? She's dazzled.
Yep.
And she feels like she learned quite a lesson to pass on to her white friends back home. I know this woman.
You've got it, Kristen. You nailed it. It's exactly how I was feeling. Up ahead lay the Clarendon Gorge, a section of the Mill River that was 40 feet from bank to bank.
I'm sorry. Hold, please.
Oops, not check.
Don't say that.
Ooh. Stop. Well, she got some good stuff.
Stop it, Norman. Don't be disgusting.
Why don't you share with our $10 tier folks what you got in there?
They're going to leave the Patreon.
Yeah, she's at the Clarendon Gorge, 40 feet from bank to bank. And on any other day, a bridge would take hikers across. But the recent storms had washed the bridge away, and the gorge was now flooded. Emma stood on the banks, wondering what to do. And her first instinct was to scream for help! But yeah, there's no one around. And so Emma just sat and waited and hoped that someone would come by. Well, sure enough, someone did come by, Kristen. It was those two Navy boys.
Oh.
The ones who kept talking about semen on the poop deck.
I thought you were ashamed of that joke and not really interested in continuing.
You know what? Like Emma, I am filled with determination now.
Now, hold on. Because just a moment ago you said you were filled with semen. No.
Hey!
I'm saying, did she get ahead of the two Navy guys?
Yeah.
Well, goodness. They were really lollygagging, weren't they?
No, they were actually fishing.
Oh, okay.
They were enjoying some fishing.
Okay, very good.
So yeah, the two Navy boys showed up and Emma explained the situation. She was like, I can't swim. How am I going to cross this? And they were like, no problem. We've got you, Grandma. So the three hikers formed a sandwich, like a human sandwich, and Emma served as the filling. This sounds weirdly sexual.
Well,
I swear it's
not. Well,
it's
the way you're saying it.
I know, I'm
you're
sorry.
You're also implying that no one knows what a sandwich is, so you have to explain it to us. We all understand.
Listen, it's a human sandwich.
Uh-huh.
Sexy times.
Okay, no.
Okay, so they tied a parachute cord around their waists, and together they waded across that gorge. Emma held onto their hands for dear life, staring up at the sky, silently praying they would make it across. And sure enough, they did make it across. Emma quickly ran behind some brush to change out of her clothes and yelled out to them, "Well, you got Grandma across!" The men later recalled that moment, saying Emma was one tough old bird.
That's very sweet. I'm also thinking, okay, I understand that she was an ultra light packer, but these boys had a freaking parachute with them?
Like a parachute cord.
Okay.
I don't know if it was literally a parachute. I'm guessing just like a thick rope.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'm just saying they came prepared for literally anything.
I know. We might have to jump off this mountain, folks. Soon, Emma Gatewood arrived at the Long Trail Lodge, which the trail literally ran through. Seriously, there were white blazes inside the lodge. You had to walk through the lodge on the Appalachian Trail. Mm-hmm. It was one of the first lodges built for skiers in the Green Mountain National Park. Sadly, it was destroyed in a fire in 1968. But there is a plaque where it once was, Kristen.
Ooh.
When Emma arrived, it seemed like people had been expecting her. And no wonder Mary Snow's article in Sports Illustrated had been published, further increasing interest in Emma Gatewood's walk. It seemed like she could no longer escape the publicity. That evening, she took a call from yet another reporter. But despite the distractions, Emma Gatewood was still filled with determination to finish that damn hike. She departed the lodge and made her way to Gifford Woods State Park. There, she learned that a beaver dam had collapsed and flooded the valley along the trail, and a volunteer offered to drive Emma around the flooded area. You know, Emma had always turned down rides and shortcuts, but she really had no choice here. So she accepted that ride. It was only 2 miles, and that was literally the only time Emma did not walk on the trail by foot. A couple days later, Emma was in a new state. New Hampshire!
Old New Hampshire, grand and gray.
Oh, the state
this
song.
Is sweet. I kind of like it.
New Hampshire,
turn it up.
The dear old granite state.
Ugh, another good workout song.
What's better, New Hampshire state song or the Maryland state song?
Okay. Definitely New Hampshire. The Maryland one, just, I don't know.
Maryland, my Maryland.
Well, I don't like a song where it sounds like everyone singing has something up their butts. Like, and I don't
stick
mean
up
that.
The butt?
I don't mean it figuratively. I mean, like, literally, they're singing their way through it, and it's a struggle for all of us.
You know, that's what they did with a lot of opera singers back in the day.
Oh,
they
really?
Say, you want to hit that certain note, you've got to shove this up your ass.
Well, and you would know because your last name is Caruso. You are related to the famous.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. You got it.
Okay.
You figured me out. Mm. I've got to stick up my butt right now.
Why don't you sing for us, big boy? Oh!
Specifically, Emma Gatewood was in Hanover, New Hampshire, along the Connecticut River, home of Dartmouth College.
Oh.
As Emma walked through the quiet little town, she was approached by two teenage girls who had recognized her from the newspaper. And they were like, oh my God, like, I'm a huge fan. And like, maybe you could come back to our house and like have lunch with us.
Don't make fun of teenage girls, Norm.
Okay. Emma wasn't going to turn down a free meal. And when she got to the house, one of the girl's fathers recognized Emma. He was like, oh my God, like, I'm a big fan. And like, I read about you in Sports Illustrated. And like, would you like to like stay in my like cabin that's like just off the trail ahead?
Norm, I owe you an apology. I thought you were making fun of teenage girls. This is clearly this family's dialect.
Right. The dad talks like that too. Emma Gatewood was definitely not going to turn that down. The girls followed Emma a couple more miles on their bikes, and that night, Emma stayed in one of the comfiest shelters yet, a nice cozy cabin with a real mattress. Mm. The next day, Emma was spotted by more reporters and photographers, and she said, "You boys always seem to find me." So by now, Emma Gatewood's hike was a national news story. Reporters now called her Grandma Gatewood, and articles were providing weekly updates on her progress. But now reporters were probing a little deeper, Kristen. They wanted to know, why? Why on earth was Emma Gatewood hiking the Appalachian Trail all by herself at the age of 67?
Yeah.
And Emma always seemed to give a different answer. She'd say, oh, well, the kids are finally out of the house and it seemed like fun. Oh, I heard no woman had ever hiked the whole thing, so I thought I would be the first. Oh, I just like nature. Oh, it seemed like a lark. These various answers never revealed her painful past, and she wanted to keep it that way. And on this day in New Hampshire, Emma gave a new answer, just for the heck of it.
Honestly, you're saying those are all different, and I get that those are all different words, but to me, they can all be true, and they're all kind of the same.
Tell me more.
It's essentially saying, I had the time to do this and I had the desire to do it. So why not?
Yeah, basically. Just not so direct.
Right.
So yeah, her new answer was just for the heck of it. The headline the next day in the Valley News read, Grandma walks Appalachian Trail for the heck of it.
I love that.
Week 16, week 17, and week 18. Emma Gatewood was now in the most difficult part of the Appalachian Trail. Specifically, she was in the Presidential Mountain Range of New Hampshire, where each peak is named after a different president. The winds on top of these mountains were very strong, Kristen. Shelters had to be chained to the ground so they didn't blow away.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. Emma was ill-prepared for these conditions. And what made things worse was the cold weather. It made the pain in her knees and feet even greater. At one point, the trail stretched alongside a bluff, very close to the edge. Several hikers had died falling off the side. Emma had to time her steps with gusts of wind and shimmied across carefully.
That is terrifying. And she was doing this in Keds, or has she new shoes by this point, right?
Yeah, and I'm unsure if they're Keds or not, but, you know.
The Keds don't have the grip strength you need for this hike.
I know. Like I said, the kids were holding on for dear life if they were kids. But, you know, slowly and steadily, Emma reached the Madison Spring Hut. And a group of folks were once again waiting for her with gifts. Emma got a new bandage for her swollen knee. She got wool gloves. She got a ski hat. And her lodging was taken care of. It was the perks of being a celebrity, Kristen. Mm. Then, several days later, Emma crossed the state line through Mount Carlo. She was now in the last state, the final boss, Maine.
Third boxcar, midnight train, destination Bangor, Maine.
You know that song?
I think I do.
King of the Road.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
Emma Gatewood was so proud of herself at that moment.
Yeah.
That night, she slept alone in a bed of moss at the top of Mount Carlo, staring at the stars and the full moon, singing herself to sleep. But the next day, Emma hiked through Mahoosuc Notch, considered the hardest mile of the Appalachian Trail. It's a narrow notch between two giant rocky mountain walls with massive boulders and gnarly twisted root clusters. It took Emma 2 hours to hike 1 mile, and her shoes once again screamed out,
"I'm about to bust."
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Emma was pretty far away from a resupply. Maine is full of uninhabited land. So she took some string from her sack and she tied her shoes back together to keep hiking. The next few days wouldn't get any easier. Cold, fat, sleeting rain poured down as Emma made her way through Old Speck Mountain and Bald Pate Mountain. In several parts of that hike, Emma had to crawl on her hands and knees so she didn't slip off the rocks.
Oh my gosh, this is terrifying.
She also had to leap across a crevice where another hiker had left a sign that read only, "Go fast."
Jesus Christ. I take back my bullshit about, oh, let's do this one day. Let's just do the Appalachian Trail together, huh? No.
And, you know, we talked about the northern part is the most difficult. This is the shit you got to deal with. This is like in a freaking video game, a sign that just says go fast.
Okay, here's the thing.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
I will hike the Appalachian Trail on one condition. No, two conditions. Condition number one, all the snakes have to leave. The snakes have to just go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Ideally not the Midwest, because then I'm going to go back to the Midwest when I'm done. But also this stuff about, oh, you might slip to your death and be donezo forever.
Yep.
No, thank you.
No, thanks.
I'm going to need to be bungeed up to something.
What if they put that MyPillow factory right below the edge of the cliff? Mike Lindell's MyPillow factory.
How's he doing, by the way?
Not good, Kristen. Not good.
It's always good to check in on the MyPillow guy and the Papa John's guy every now and then.
Future topic?
Oh, my God.
Now, where was I?
I do not know.
Okay. So, yeah, she had to jump across a crevice, but eventually she made it to a paved mountain road, which provided some relief for her aching feet. And on that road, she ran into a man mowing the grass on the roadside. And they got to chatting, and Emma asked where she could buy some damn shoes.
Yeah.
And the guy pointed. He was like, well, you can either go 6 miles that-a-way, or you can go 20 miles that-a-way.
Oh, geez.
And both ways were completely off the trail.
Yeah.
And Emma was like, never mind. And she kept going. She's just like, it's not worth it for me to hike 6 miles out of the way to get shoes. But once again, Kristen, stranger's generosity was on full display for her hike. That man and his wife met Emma down the road in their car with a surprise, a new pair of shoes.
Oh,
isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
And so with a fresh pair of shoes, Emma was now overflowing with determination. She hiked on through Elephant Mountain, Saddleback Mountain, and Sugarloaf, limping the whole way as her knee got swoller and swoller. Is that a word, swoller?
I don't think so.
You know what? We're counting.
More swollen?
Nope. We're going to swoller.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going to look this up. Swoller. Swoller can refer to a surname, a brand of relaxation stool, or a term used in a video game in online communities.
Maybe that's how you know it. From the stool softener, of course.
Urban Dictionary, swoller, to consume a beverage by way of drinking.
Well, isn't that just the way you drink? What?
To engage in the act of swollering. I don't understand.
Someone doesn't know how to write for a dictionary.
No kidding. On top of Mount Bigelow, Emma struggled to stay dry. Her fingers and toes were freezing from the ice-cold temperatures. But luckily, she ran into a forest warden who brought Emma back to his cabin to get warm and to rest. In his cabin, the warden shared the latest news story on Emma, coming hot off the presses from Farmington, Maine. It read in part, "Why the long walk? Mrs. Gatewood, who has 11 children, 23 grandchildren, and 2 great-grandchildren, put it this way. After 20 years of hanging diapers and seeing my children grow up and go their own way, I decided to take a walk, one I always wanted to take. The next day, Emma tried to keep going, but it was still super rainy and cold outside. And the forest warden was like, hey, maybe you should wait another day, and you can stay here if you want. And he was like, well, I gotta go to work. See you later. Emma decided to thank him, and she did what she had been doing her whole life. She helped out. She cleaned his entire cabin. She washed the dishes. She restocked his water. She mopped, and
oh
she
gosh.
Even made him biscuits.
Oh.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
The forest warden came home, and he was so happy. He was like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. Weeks 19 and 20, the final weeks.
Yes.
Emma Gatewood was near the end. She officially only had 100 miles to go.
Nothing.
She hiked quickly to stay warm, and she had plenty of help. It seemed like everybody was coming out of the woodwork to make sure Emma Gatewood finished her walk. A forest warden paddled her across the Kennebec River as crowds of people waited on the banks and snapped photographs. Multiple headlines the next day read, Hiking Granny Reaches Maine. Hiking Gallipolis Grandma Gets Rest Near Goal. Ohio Grandma Nearing End of Hike. The next day, she hiked up White Cap Mountain, and there, from the top, she saw it off in the distance. Mount Katahdin. The end. Only 70 miles to go. But that last 70 miles would be brutal. Temperatures were below freezing at night. The trail markers were barely visible. Emma had to wade through icy water. Shelters were few and far between. And coming down a hillside, Emma slipped again and fell on a rock. She sprained her ankle. She bruised her eye. She broke her glasses. But nothing could stop her now, not even partial blindness or a sprained ankle. And soon she reached a milestone, Rainbow Lake, the same place where a year earlier, park rangers had sent her home.
Oh.
And now those same park rangers were there to greet her, and they showered her with congratulations. They could not believe Emma had hiked all the way from Georgia. Was this the same person they met last year? And to celebrate, they washed her clothes and they cooked her dinner while she got some much-needed rest. The next morning, Emma set off for Mount Katahdin, and along the way, a car pulled up next to her. It was Mary Snow. She was back for her follow-up story. And together, they hiked the remaining few miles to the Mount Katahdin campground. In their talk, Mary Snow wanted to know what Emma Gatewood's general impressions were of the Appalachian Trail. And here is what Emma said, Kristen. This is a direct quote.
Okay.
I read about this trail 3 years ago in a magazine, and the article told about the beautiful trail, how well marked it was, that it was cleared out and that there were shelters at the end of a good day's hike. I thought it would be a nice lark. It wasn't. There were terrible blowdowns, burnt over areas that were never remarked, gravel and sand washouts, weeds and brush to your neck, and most of the shelters were blown down, burned down, or so filthy, I chose to sleep out of doors. This is no trail. This is a nightmare.
Oh.
For some fool reason, they always lead you right up over the biggest rock to the top of the biggest mountain they can find. I've seen every fire station between here and Georgia. Why, an Indian would die laughing his head off if he saw those trails. I would never have started this trip if I had known how tough it was, but I couldn't and wouldn't quit.
I kind of love it.
A scathing review from Grandma.
Well, you know, sometimes you get sweet Grandma and sometimes you get Grandma who's going to tell it like it is.
That's right. We're not going to Blockbuster tonight.
No.
By the end of the day, the pair had reached the Katahdin Stream Campground at the base of the mountain. Emma decided to treat herself to a rented cabin. She started a fire and cuddled up with some blankets. September 25th, 1955. This was it, the final day of Emma Gatewood's walk. It was less than a month from her 68th birthday. She was on her seventh pair of shoes. She had broken glasses, a swollen knee, a sprained ankle, swollen feet. She had lost 30 pounds since the start of her hike.
Well, that's what this was all about.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
It's about losing weight.
Yeah, you know, the Subway diet, the Atkins diet. You've got all these different diets. Why not just hike the Appalachian Trail?
The Appalachian Trail diet.
It's just that simple.
Before her stood Mount Katahdin. I wish I could share with you the struggles and grit and determination Emma showed climbing that mountain. But what can I say? She was a badass, and she easily reached the summit around noon. And there, alone on top of that great mountain, as the sun shined down on her, Emma congratulated herself. "I did it," she said. "I said I'd do it, and I've done it." She signed her name in the registration book to make it official. Emma Gatewood had become the first woman to complete a solo through hike of the Appalachian Trail. It took her 146 days. That's about 14 miles a day.
That seems fast. Am I wrong?
That's pretty good time.
I would say so.
And then, as promised, Emma Gatewood sang America the Beautiful.
Oh, what do you have to say about that, Norm?
Oh, beautiful. It's fine. I said you do you.
Okay.
I personally wouldn't do it.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't want to, you know, show off. I'm a humble guy, you know.
You don't want the birds and the bees to be jealous of what a good singer you are.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And how well I can have sex.
What?
Birds and bees.
Oh,
I thought
okay.
That was a joke.
Not really.
Watch this, birds and bees. Afterward, Emma took it all in. She said she felt alone up on that mountain. But it was more like a beautiful feeling than a sad one. She said she felt, quote, an aloneness more complete than ever.
Hmm.
I thought about that quote for a few minutes.
Okay.
After I read it. Yeah, to me, it felt like it was a nice aloneness.
Yeah.
Not like a sad one.
Well, I think if it's sad, you say a loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not talking about loneliness. She's talking about aloneness.
And saying more complete than ever.
Yeah.
As in, like, it's fulfilling. It's what I needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, that works in several senses. One of them being she did this on her own.
Yeah.
And of course, she had help along the way, but that was help from strangers. That wasn't help from family or people she knew.
Right.
This was all her. Everything in her life, in a way, had led to this moment.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a very emotional moment for her. Newspapers around the country shared the news. Mrs. Gatewood completes hike. Grandma plans New York visit as hike ends. Granny tired. Emma Gatewood descended Mount Katahdin and caught a ride to the nearby town of Millinocket. She was treated to lunch and presented with a framed picture of Mount Katahdin as a gift to commemorate her hike. And that night, she took the train into Bangor, Maine, and enjoyed a steak dinner. From the train, she wrote a postcard to her new friends at the Roman Catholic Parish in Harlem. And it read, "I made it. Remember me to all those young men I owe my life to. Please tell them they are welcome to come visit me anytime. Love, Emma." And then it was off to New York City. Mary Snow personally gave Emma a tour. They visited the Empire State Building, Chinatown, Times Square. Emma Gatewood took it all in. She had only read about New York City from her old relative, Oscar McIntyre. Remember him?
Yes.
And then Emma Gatewood got on a plane, her walking stick as a carry-on, and she flew home. When she got to Huntington, West Virginia, she called her son, Monroe, to pick her up. "Come get me," she said over the phone. Monroe jokingly replied, "You've walked all that way. Surely you could walk the rest of the way to Gallipolis."
Hey! Yay!
Back home, family and friends poured in with phone calls or visits. Emma got to meet a 7-month-old great-grandchild for the very first time. Reporters flocked to her house to talk to her. Emma called the whole experience the most valuable summer of her life. And when the reporters talked to her children, they were completely unsurprised by their mother. She always took care of herself, and she taught us to take care of ourselves, they said. But the media frenzy didn't stop there, Kristen. Emma Gatewood was a guest on a brand new morning show from NBC. The Today Show! She also appeared on a radio program called Welcome Travelers, where she won a prize of $200.
Okay.
All right. But soon the media frenzy died down, and so Emma decided it was time to go home and relax. But you know, every now and then reporters would catch up with Emma just to see what her future plans were. They were like, you know, you're kind of a celebrity now. People want to know what you're going to do.
Yeah.
But Emma always hated the term celebrity. To her, she just went on a walk, albeit a very long walk. She remained silent about her future plans. Meanwhile, in the summer of 1956, Emma Gatewood's name rang through the halls of Congress. Ohio Rep. Thomas Jenkins asked for the floor of the House to commend Mrs. Emma Gatewood, a resident of Gallipolis, Ohio, for her extraordinary walk. By the wonderful performance, Mrs. Emma Gatewood has achieved for herself a place with the heroes of the country. Emma Gatewood laid low for a while, but Kristen, that itch to hike, it came roaring back. In a diary entry for April 16th, 1957, Emma wrote that she had to babysit and the grandkids didn't behave. "I will be glad when I can get away," she wrote.
That'll teach those asshole kids.
Little jerks. Just a week later, she was gone again, back to Mount Oglethorpe, Georgia. Emma was going to hike the Appalachian Trail again.
Shut up.
6 months before her 70th birthday.
Wow.
And her second hike would prove to be pretty eventful, Kristen. Let's go over the highlights.
Let's hear them.
Emma ran into another rattlesnake, which she called a, quote, sassy thing. A man with a peg leg fed her a meal of boiled eggs, corn, and stewed beef.
Oh.
Mm. A dog followed her from Tennessee all the way into Virginia. She saw a bear and she shouted, "Hey!" And the bear ran away.
Yeah.
She got bit by something in the leg and had to go to a doctor and get antibiotics. She saw an AWOL soldier get captured by military police.
Wow.
In Pennsylvania, she crossed paths with Dorothy Laker, the second woman to solo through hike the Appalachian Trail. But we all know that second place is the first loser. So suck it, Dorothy.
Oh, God.
At one shelter, Emma wrote she couldn't sleep because, quote, "there was so much noise all night by giggling girls and indecent sounds. I would have liked to have thrown a lot of things downstairs."
What were the indecent sounds?
Probably a little bit of this.
I'm about to bust.
Okay.
Probably a little bit of this.
Sexy times.
Okay.
Probably a little bit of this.
That's all you got, huh?
Yep. So on her second trip, Emma Gatewood noted that the Appalachian Trail looked pretty good. Apparently, her feedback in Sports Illustrated spurred some action. Volunteers worked hard to clean up neglected parts of the trail. And that made her second hike much easier this time around.
In a way, Grandma told everyone to do their chores, and they did, huh?
Exactly. On September 16th, 1957, Emma climbed Mount Katahdin once again. And with that, she became the first person, man or woman, to solo through hike the Appalachian Trail twice.
Mm.
When a reporter asked how she felt as she climbed down the mountain, she replied,
"Oh, I'm too old for this shit."
Oh.
For real, she did say that. She said, "I'm getting too old." But old age did not stop her. The next year, in 1958, Emma climbed six mountains in the Adirondack Range. She liked to hike with friends and family, too, but she was always very careful about who she picked, Kristen. One time, a male friend asked if he could join her on one of her extended hikes, and she said no because, quote, "people would talk."
Oh, my. Mm,
sexy times.
Mm.
Wow, okay.
Okay. The following year, in 1959, Emma Gatewood was looking for her next big adventure, and she found it in an article in the newspaper. Emma read a story about the Oregon Centennial Celebration, 100 years of the great state of Oregon.
Dolly? All right, you're speaking to me, Norm.
And to celebrate the occasion, an old-timey wagon train was going to travel the old Oregon Trail from Independence, Missouri, all the way to Independence, Oregon. And that gave Emma Gatewood an idea. She said, quote, "I thought of all the women who walked behind the wagons when they went to settle the country. I was looking for something to do this summer, and a walk to Oregon seemed like the best thing." And so on May 4th, 2 weeks after the wagon train left Independence, Missouri, Emma Gatewood also left Independence, Missouri. She was going to walk the Oregon Trail. A month later, she passed the wagon train in Pocatello, Idaho. Once again, Emma was a media sensation. But she had now grown tired of people constantly stopping for photographs and questions. Whenever she saw a crowd of people, she bowed her head or covered her face with a handkerchief. She told one reporter she, quote, "felt like a sideshow freak." One time she even got violent. She smacked a photographer with her umbrella. Mm. So cliche, Grandma Gatewood.
Hey, she did it before Britney.
On August 7th, 1959, Emma Gatewood walked into Portland, Oregon. She had been walking for 3 months, covering 2,000 miles of the old Oregon Trail. Portland residents were thrilled. They declared it Grandma Gatewood Day and blocked off multiple streets for her arrival. Hundreds of residents walked with Emma to the finish line. And as she crossed the ribbon, she sobbed and fell into a stranger's arms, and the crowd cheered. Author Ben Montgomery summed up the moment perfectly when he wrote, "She was everyone's grandma now." It was another incredible feat for Emma Gatewood, and she was rewarded with an appearance on Groucho Marx's quiz show, You Bet Your Life. So Groucho Marx interviewed Emma on his show, and I'd like to play a few segments of it for you now, because I thought it was interesting for multiple reasons. One, we get to hear Emma's voice.
Yeah.
And two, knowing what you know about her early life, you hear the interview differently now that you know what her early life was like.
Okay, okay.
So, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, Groucho, I have Emma Gatewood standing by to talk to you.
Now, where are you from, Emma?
Gallipolis, Ohio.
Gallipolis, Ohio?
Yes.
Wasn't there a famous writer came from there?
McIntyre.
McIntyre, yeah. Mm-hmm. Were you born on a farm?
Yes, I was.
Emma? Why was this? I mean, did your folks, what did they raise on the farm in addition to you?
Tobacco and corn, wheat, and little cane.
Little cane? How big a family did he raise, Emma?
15.
15 children? Well, he must have raised quite some cane, right? Do you think 15 children in one family is a good idea? Would you recommend it to other parents?
Too many. They can't take proper care of them.
Do you have children?
I have 11.
In other words, you don't subscribe to your own philosophy, do you? Huh? Well, Emma, now that your children are grown, what do you do for excitement?
Oh, I hike.
You hike?
Yes.
You mean you just keep walking all the time? What kind of walking do you do?
I walked the Oregon Trail.
The Oregon
Trail? This year.
Oh, you walked it?
Yes.
You mean like Lewis and Clark?
Yes.
When was this?
This year.
You walked the Oregon Trail this
year? Yes.
How did you arrive at that kind of a pastime?
Oh, I didn't have anything else to do. The family's all married and gone, and I just wanted to do something.
How old are you?
72.
72, huh? And how long was this trip that you...
2,000 miles.
You walked 2,000 miles. What were you walking for?
I like to walk, and I just...
But isn't it dull?
I like to spend the summer that way.
Don't you... Isn't it dull if you don't have some objective of some kind?
Suppose, well, I enjoy...
When you got to the other end, what happened? You turn around and walk back again?
No. This year I walked up to Centennial, up to Portland.
From where?
Independence, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of that?
Well, he's a pretty boring interviewer, I gotta say.
He kept interrupting, too.
Kept interrupting, which it's one of my favorite things. Kept interrupting, kind of appeared to be going into it as if he had no idea who she was and why she was being interviewed. I don't know. It just, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and I think there was, that was kind of part of the show, is they bring on this, like, surprise guest and Groucho doesn't know who it is and so
sure.
talks to him. But just, like, when I first heard the interview, I think the part that struck me the most was when Groucho asked, what do you think about having 15 children?
I'm shocked by her honesty.
And she said, no, I wouldn't do it, like, because you can't take care of your kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just thought back to her really rough childhood, and it was like a tinge of sadness in her answer, and it was very real. I don't know, I'm just thinking if you had heard that interview without context, be a little different, right?
I don't think so.
No?
No, I think it's very obvious that in this interview, he's kind of being this character of, well, what do you do? What do you say? And she's not really performing. She's answering the questions as asked.
Yeah.
Which is not always what is wanted on a comedy show.
That's true. She was a straight shooter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think you do get a sense for something real there.
Yeah, you do get a sense of it. I felt like there was more weight to it, knowing what her past was like, I guess.
Well, and I mean, the real weight, I think we haven't even touched on, which is like, then she says she's had 11 children. He's like, oh, you didn't really subscribe to your own thing there. And yeah.
You don't mention the sexual abuse.
Yeah. It's like, well, buddy, I was raped. And also, when did birth control really become a thing?
Right.
Later.
Yeah.
That's not on him, though.
I know. But yeah, that is a fair thing to bring up for sure. Anyway, I thought it was cool to hear her voice.
Yeah.
And obviously in the video version, we're going to show video of it.
Yeah.
So you'll get to see what she looks like when she talks. Anyway, throughout the 1960s, Emma Gatewood kept hiking. In 1960, she attempted a third solo through hike. But 75 miles into her journey, she had to quit. A huge amount of downed trees from a windstorm blocked the trail. Emma said, it would take 100 men 30 months to cut their way through that. So Emma decided to try some new hikes. From Gallipolis, she hiked to White Plains, New York to visit her daughter. And then she headed north to Chester, Massachusetts and climbed Mount Greylock again. From there, she hit the long trail in Vermont and took it all the way into Canada. When she wasn't hiking, Emma was volunteering to make hiking better for everybody. She joined the National Campers and Hikers Association, and she was a member of the Buckeye Trail Association in Ohio, which was developing a 1,000-mile-plus hike circling the state of Ohio. Emma Gatewood helped clear paths and mark blazes on the trail. And when a reporter asked how she managed to stay in such great shape to do this kind of work, Emma replied, "Exercise is important. Too many people hop in the car to go two blocks for a bar of soap." Ouch, Emma. A hit dog will holler. Not me going two blocks to buy some Keebler fudge cookies.
Yeah.
Emma would later receive the State Conservation Award from the governor. In September of 1964, Emma Gatewood completed her third hike of the Appalachian Trail at the age of 77.
That is wild.
However, this time, it was not a through hike. She did it in sections. But still, she became the very first person to hike the Appalachian Trail three times. Emma Gatewood was living a whole new life in her later years. But still, her old life haunted her. In 1968, she got word that her ex-husband, Perry Clayton Gatewood.
No, he's dead to all of us. You don't need to talk about him. What'd he do? Oh, did he die? For real?
He was sick.
Oh, okay. My apologies.
Did he die?
Sorry.
Kristen's rooting for it. Oh, did a dump truck fall on him?
Fall off a cliff. Oh,
like
yeah.
Wile E. Coyote.
Okay,
style.
Yeah. Did that happen? An anvil coming from
well,
the sky?
Well, let's learn what PC had been up to all those years, Kristen. Ugh. So he had remarried.
Oh.
He worked as a carpenter for many years. He built homes in the tiny village of Crown City, Ohio. He worked closely with tobacco farmers in the region, and eventually he was elected mayor of Crown City.
You're kidding.
For several terms. All of his children had limited contact with him. And whenever they would bring up how he treated their mother, PC was like, what? I didn't do that. I don't remember any of that.
Hmm. Well, I'm sure everyone else was wrong.
In his final days, PC asked if Emma could come see him one last time, just for a moment, and Emma replied,
hell no.
Good job,
Emma.
She owed him nothing.
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 PC Gatewood died in March of 1968 at the age of 88. In the 1970s, Emma slowed down. She was now in her 80s. She could still hike, but not as far. She regularly volunteered and led six-mile hikes down to Old Man's Cave in Hocking Hills State Park. But by 1972, even that was becoming too much. Emma's legs were in a lot of pain. She told a friend, quote, I feel like taking off into the woods, but I don't know whether I'd get back. With her hiking days over, Emma decided to travel. In 1973, she took a bus trip that went through all 48 mainland states. And while in Florida, Emma felt air conditioning for the very first time. And she hated it. She said it was unnatural, and she thought it would make her sick.
That is such an old person thing to think.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I thought about that, and I was like, what, the first time with air conditioning? I was like, well, I guess so. At her age and that time.
Well, and you also think about there are certain inventions like, well, switching to electric lighting in homes. Do you remember the stories of like some of the older people at that time were just like, this is unnatural. This is unhealthy. Yep. No, this has
it's
to stop.
The work of the devil.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
AC, same thing.
After her trip, Emma returned home and she fell into her usual routine. She gardened, she liked to write letters and poetry, she did chores around the house. But on one Sunday, she felt off. So she called her son Nelson to say she wasn't feeling well. Nelson wasn't going to take any chances, and he called 911. Paramedics found Emma unresponsive, and they rushed her to the hospital. The next morning, on June 4th, 1973, Emma Gatewood passed away. She was 85 years old.
Wow.
Author Ben Montgomery contends that Emma Gatewood saved the Appalachian Trail. I think that's probably too strong of a word. And I think even Emma herself would disagree that she saved the Appalachian Trail. But she certainly got more people to pay attention to it, said a member of the Appalachian Trail Museum. Quote, she opened the door of knowledge of the trail to the general public. Now that I can agree with. Her story was inspiring. It got people moving. It got me thinking about what a lazy piece of shit I am.
Oh, good.
Surprisingly, some folks tried to downplay Emma's incredible accomplishments. Get a load of this bitch.
Okay.
Author Bill Bryson mentions Emma in his best-selling travel book.
I was going to say, he's a very famous author.
Yes.
What's he doing?
So he wrote a book in 1997 entitled A Walk in the Woods, Rediscovering America on the Appalachian Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a little blurb about Emma Gatewood. Here's what he wrote. Probably the most famous, certainly the most written about, of all thru-hikers was Emma Grandma Gatewood, who successfully hiked the trail twice in her late 60s. Despite being eccentric, poorly equipped, and a danger to herself, she
what?
Was forever getting lost.
All right, jealous asshole.
Okay. So Emma's youngest daughter, Lucy, she read that book, and she was pissed off.
Absolutely.
She wrote a letter to Bill Bryson, who, by the way, Bill Bryson only hiked about 40% of the Appalachian Trail.
Of course.
And her letter read, quote, Eccentric, perhaps, but kindly please. Lost? Never. Just misdirected. I hope you have the satisfaction of completing the trail someday. Mm.
Your father never had the makings of a varsity athlete.
What the...
Yeah. How about you do what my mother did in her late 60s, and then you can talk shit. Also, Lost, this was back before the trail was really well maintained.
Yeah.
Bill.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, she did it 3 freaking times.
This is so transparent to me.
What do you mean?
What do you think I mean, Norm?
You saying this guy has a little inferiority complex?
I'm saying...
Does he have a itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot peeny?
Yes. I'm just saying if Grandpa Gatewood had been the one to do this, I think he would have gotten more than a paragraph in that book, and it would have been a hell of a lot more respectful.
This man's a hero. I love him. I want to kiss him.
No, some people will just...
I want to kiss his beard.
Some people will just bend over backwards to not give someone their due. Shut up, Norm.
I want to bend him over and lick his butthole. Mr. Gatewood, I salute you, sir.
No, I get it. I read that, and I was just like, what a douche.
No kidding.
By the way, they turned that book into a movie starring Robert Redford. But after reading what he said about Emma, I don't know if I want to watch it.
Wow.
It should come as no surprise that Emma Gatewood is a member of the Appalachian Trail Hall of Fame. To date, only 8 women and 55 men have hiked the Appalachian Trail 3 times. Emma Gatewood is one of them. And in her lifetime, Emma Gatewood recorded more than 14,000 miles on hiking trails. As we discussed in this episode, many reporters asked why Emma Gatewood was hiking, and she seemed to always give different answers. Author Ben Montgomery contends, quote, "To suggest she was trying to be the first woman means believing that she was walking towards something. I'm not sure that's wholly true. I'm not sure she was walking towards something so much as walking away." Now, I read that, and it felt off to me. Mm-hmm. I also read some reviews of his book from other reviewers, and they felt the same way I did. I kind of disagree with that statement of she was walking away from something.
Yeah.
Because to me, it almost makes it seem like, oh, you know, if my life wasn't so horrible and my husband didn't abuse me so much, I never would have walked the Appalachian Trail. That's what it seemed like to me.
See, to me, it feels wrong because walking away implies to me trying to escape something. And I feel like what nature always did for her was it allowed her to reconnect with herself.
Yes.
And get away from some of the toxicity and negativity that she was so often surrounded in. And, you know, later in life, she got away from that terrible husband. And she had this opportunity to do the things she'd done for herself basically her whole life. Her whole life, anytime things got hard, she went off into the woods and she was alone.
Right.
And now she had the opportunity to go off into the woods and stay in the woods.
Yeah. See, that's kind of how I felt too.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, Emma Gatewood, no doubt, had a very rough life. And most of her life, she was taking care of other people.
Yeah.
And that hike, it was more about doing something completely for herself, something she loved. And I think that's summed up best by one of her many answers to a reporter who asked her why she was hiking the Appalachian Trail. Emma simply said, "Because I wanted to."
Yeah.
And what more do we need to know from this badass woman? Emma Gatewood's family buried her on a hillside in the Ohio Valley Memorial Gardens in Gallia County, Ohio. And her tombstone reads, "Emma R. Gatewood, Grandma." And that's the story of Grandma Gatewood.
Hmm.
Oh, I have one more thing.
Okay.
So you know that 6-mile hike that Emma used to lead? She would volunteer all those years.
A 6-mile hike? What are you talking?
She led a 6-mile hike to Old Man's Cave.
Oh, okay.
In her later years. They renamed that hike the Grandma Gatewood Memorial Trail in Hocking Hills State Park. So for you Ohio history hoes, history Ohio hoes, how should we say that?
I don't know.
Ohio's?
No, Ohio's. Hey!
Ohio's, okay. History Ohio's. Go to Hocking Hills State Park and hike that Grandma Gatewood Memorial Trail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And while you're there, run into other history Ohioans and introduce yourself as Sparkle, whatever your name is, and maybe fall in love.
Mm.
These are just suggestions.
We are all about finding love on an old-timey podcast.
We sure are.
Well, that does it for Grandma Gatewood, Kristen. What'd you think?
That was really beautiful and inspiring and infuriating at the very end.
Infuriating at the end?
Yeah. To have a major author try to shit on her for no reason? Give me a freaking break.
Yeah. He's just jealous. He couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle the trail.
Well, it just makes me wonder about how many people in history get dismissed or forgotten about because people with a lot of influence come along and tell us, this person, yeah, technically they did this thing, but don't worry about them. They were.
It's not a big deal. Yeah. It's just not a big deal.
And we just read that and go, oh, okay, well, yeah, I guess not.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily her story is well documented enough that one douchey man can't take her down. Sorry, Bill. I know you're a big fan of the pod.
Well, again, a big shout out again to author Ben Montgomery, who uncovered her whole story, mm-hmm. like the abuse and her diary entries. Like, he was the one that kind of laid out the story. So again, shout out to him in his book, Grandma Gatewood's Walk.
What was his name again?
Ben Montgomery.
No, his friends call him Sparkle Ben Montgomery.
Oh, sorry. Sparkle Ben.
Very good.
Right, right. Sparkle Kristen?
Yes?
Do you have anything to end this episode on?
I do, actually, and it's a bit of a scandal.
A scandal?
Yes. A mystery. A mystery, if you will.
We all
love a mystery. I wish I was in a trench coat for this part of the show, because that's what feels right.
Taking a long draw from a cigarette?
Yeah. Maybe, ideally, I would be in an alleyway.
Yeah.
Obviously at night. Duh.
Mm-hmm. A single street lamp shines down on you.
And I would tell you, Norm, on a recent episode, at the very end, I was reading reviews. And I read a review from someone who used the username DPNKC.
And we suspected it was your father, right?
Daryl Pitts, who lives, you guessed it, in KC.
Mm-hmm.
But the review was pretty, like, polite and nice.
Unlike your father?
No. No, usually my dad can't help but make little jokes, you know, whatever. This was joke-free, but still, we thought, surely, DP and KC has to be DP. And in a strange moment, he's trying to go incognito. Just give us a nice review. We'll take it.
Okay.
Well, I interrogated the suspect last night at the zoo.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. And
specifically at the zoo.
Listen, the Kansas City Zoo right now, they're doing Glow Wild. It's a cool thing in the evening. I recommend it. And yeah, I interrogated the one and only DP.
Did you corner him in the penguin enclosure? You stuff a fish in his mouth? We're going to get you to talk, DP.
He claimed, you know, first he had to spit out all those fish. He claimed that it was not him, which I think makes this story even weirder. Someone, DP and KC, it's a different DP, still in KC, writing nice reviews. It's not my dad.
Dolly Parton?
We have to suspect. So then, brother-in-law Jay, the plot thickens.
Oh.
He started floating an idea that perhaps there should be troll accounts leaving reviews. Maybe as DP, maybe the real DP verified, you know, whatever, leaving reviews.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a whole thing, Norm.
Maybe we can't always suspect the initials DP or is your father, you know? Maybe the real DP is the friends we made along the way of this old-timey podcast.
Beautifully put, Norm. Beautifully put.
Mm-hmm.
And thus, we conclude.
And thus we end this episode of an old-timey podcast.
No, for real, thank you to anyone who leaves ratings and reviews of the show.
Or Spotify comments.
Yes, It helps the show tremendously. If you want to pose as my father, we welcome that as well. It confuses us every time. It's happened one time, and boy, have we been confused by it. Let's see what else can happen.
It'd be great if it was like DP around the world. So it was like DP
where in the world is Daryl Pitts.
It, like, and he could wear the, oh God, that was where in the world is Matt Lauer.
No, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? What are you talking about? Get Matt Lauer out of this.
Remember that segment, Where in the World is Matt Lauer, on the Today Show?
Yeah, not in prison, but, you know, whatever.
Carmen Sandiego. Yeah, I was going to make the joke that DP could wear a cute little red trench coat.
He'd look adorable.
But I'm thinking reviews of, like, DP in San Francisco, DP in Tokyo. We could just have DP reviews around the world.
All right, history hoes, you know what to do.
Make it happen, Cap'n.
All right, should we wrap this up?
Do it.
Norm, you know what they say about history hoes? We always cite our sources.
That's sparkle, Norm, to you.
Oh, excuse me.
For this episode, I got my information from the book, Grandma Gatewood's Walk, The Inspiring Story of the Woman Who Saved the Appalachian Trail by Ben Montgomery, the documentary, Trail Magic, The Grandma Gatewood Story, and other sources. Check the show notes.
That's all for this episode. Thank you for listening to an old-timey podcast.
Please give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. And while you're at it, subscribe. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/oldtimeypodcast. Join the Reddit community, r/oldtimeypodcast. Follow us on Facebook and YouTube and Instagram at oldtimeypodcast. You can also follow us individually on Instagram. She is the stunning Kristen Pitts Caruso. I go by Gaming Historian, and until next time, toodaloo, ta-ta, and cheerio.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.